Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Birds of a feather flock together. I know. You've heard that before. It's not like it's anything new. But I like flocking with my friends, all right? So today we're going to flock together with some good people. David Meltzer, founder and CEO of Sports One Marketing. His website, davemeltzer.com. The guy is the host of the podcast. You'll find it entrepreneur.com. Also, The Playbook. Also, he is the, I don't know, how do I even say this? What are you? The creator, co-creator of Elevator Pitch, the host? What are you there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm a executive producer, co-creator, and partner in, and I'm also the host. I'm the chief judge of every episode of this fantastic new Shark Tank with Soul show.
Shark Tank with Soul. Good. Well, you know what? First of all, congratulations on a tremendous success. I understand something like 10 million downloads of the show. It's a fun show. I want to be on it someday. I'll pitch something to you. I'll spend some money. What do I got to do? I want to be involved. Yeah. Birds of a feather. Remember, I just said it up there. Birds of a feather.
All you got to do is ask, my friend. The great Vince Glenn, who used to work with me from the San Diego Chargers, he had the best line, right? You don't get unless you ask, my brother. You don't get unless you ask.
Well, let's for a moment for the audience that I have, because this is a nationally syndicated radio show, and it goes to podcast, and it mingles with all the great podcasts we have at entrepreneur.com. But because it's kind of like shotgun blast out into the world, for those who don't know Dave Meltzer, what would you say about this guy?
You know, somebody that enjoys the pursuit of your potential. I've kind of rags to riches again. And it's been quite a journey, but you know, I'm a value-based leader, someone who believes in making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, and having a lot of fun. I'm a compassionate capitalist. I had a varied career, one very successful in technology, one in entrepreneurship and investing, and then now in the sports marketing world as well. So, you know, I don't kind of, I'm an entrepreneur renaissance man. I deal with creating value, so it doesn't really matter how. I don't pigeonhole myself into some certain vertical or industry. I really have shifted the paradigm of value by being of service and trusting the universe that'll bring it all back to me.
Well, and he's being very, very humble. Two-time number one best-selling author, 2016 Forbes top 10 keynote speaker, 2017 Entrepreneur's top 5 best speakers. You've done a few things. Let's see. Sports One Marketing is a global agency whose projects include the little thing called the Super Bowl, the Masters in Pro Football Hall of Fame, and the Unstoppable Foundation, his business partner and co-founder of the Sports One Marketing Company, is Hall of Famer quarterback Warren Moon. You are, your book, Connected to Goodness, number one national bestseller, international best-selling author. You know, listen, I could go on and on, but I know Dave. I know Dave the dad, right. Dave the husband, Dave the friend. And, you know, you're one of those guys. How do I say this to people? Dave is one of those guys that you meet him and you immediately love him, not because of all those things I just mentioned, but because he's also just a sweetheart. And I love the fact that you have all that behind you. You didn't become an arrogant ASS. You became a better guy. And maybe you did, because you said rags to riches and then rags to riches. So there's two, you know, there's like the fall and the rise again, which I happen to think is the most important part of the character building process of any man, woman, or human. Because that, I think, is where we learn to have something that we call character, but most of us don't really know what it is until we actually have it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like anyone else, I went through my own mistakes and growth, and I would consider myself that ASS when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, when I couldn't really handle my own success. Just like an athlete, things were thrust upon me. I had set my happiness and attached it to an outcome, and when I reached the outcome and realized that didn't bring me any happiness, I made some critical errors and ego errors, and that was the greatest lesson. I'm one of the few people that will tell you that, you know, the biggest mistakes of my life and the biggest challenges of my life in my early 30s when I retired are the best things that ever happened to me. I learned to be accountable. I, you know, refused to make myself a victim. I did lose everything, millions and millions of dollars, and I'm accountable for it. And it was a freeing and life-changing event that through the assistance and support of my wife, who I consider, you know, my savior, just an amazing person, as you know, and I've turned into the person I want to be. And like I said, I've detached my happiness from any outcome. I just enjoy the pursuit of those outcomes, the pursuit of my potential, most importantly, as a father and a husband and as a brother and a son and a community member and a philanthropist. But when I set my goals, I detach my happiness from that goal, but I hang on to that goal and enjoy the pursuit of that goal. And it's a valuable lesson in shifting the paradigm of value. When I wake up every morning with one prayer. May God put 10 people in front of me that I can help, and then I pursue being of service and providing value. That doesn't mean I don't want to make money. I have a great desire to make a lot of money because I know I can't give what I don't have. And if I have a lot of money, I can help a lot of people.
Love it. Of course,
have a lot of fun.
Love it. Also, by the way, honored for his philanthropic work as Variety Magazine Sports Humanitarian of the Year and recipient of Ellis Island Medal of Honor. We're talking about David Meltzer, my friend. This is Entrepreneur Radio. We'll be right back with more from Dave Meltzer. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, it is Entrepreneur Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Special guest today, my friend David Meltzer, founder and CEO of Sports One Marketing. And during the commercial break, he says, yeah, I just got Goodwill Ambassador of the ABC Islands. ABC Islands, what's that?
That's Aruba, Bonaire, and Curaçao. So I am blessed. And we were just down there for 8 days. I was the keynote at the Global Entrepreneurship Week and met with the Minister of Finance, a CEO of the Curaçao Tourism Board. We're going to do a lot with those islands. And they're a gateway, just amazing gateway traditionally to, of course, Europe and Latin America, North America, and even Africa. But now we're going to transform the country digitally and make them a gateway. They speak 4 languages minimum, every person on those islands.
Wow.
So they have a lot of potential and some great assets and unbelievable beauty.
Well, congratulations. By the way, what is your connection, to make sure I don't get it wrong, to the movie Jerry Maguire?
It's a great honor to have worked with Lee Steinberg, who they made the movie Jerry Maguire about, and he had co-produced that with Cameron Crowe. He followed him around. Lee invented, in my opinion, all of sports agentry, and he is well-deserved to be in the Hall of Fame someday. He's a mentor of not only myself, but of Warren Moon. And so I was the CEO of Lee Steinberg, which gave me that connection to the movie Jerry Maguire. And because people aren't more interested than interesting, a lot of people think I am Jerry Maguire.
Right.
Even some people think I'm Tom Cruise. Imagine that.
Yeah, right. But you know what's funny is you were mentored by the Jerry Maguire character, in essence, the real-life character. And because of that, I mean, to me, you know, I watched that. It was one of my favorite movies, not because Tom Cruise was in it, because it is so much of who us entrepreneurs are. We take that leap of faith. We, you know, we just do what they say shouldn't be done. And, yeah. You know, you did that, and Lee did that, and so many have done that. One of the best movies of all time.
Warren Moon did that.
There you go. Right?
Warren Moon did that. Yeah, absolutely. So it made the movie great. It's not a sports film, right? It's an inspirational, aspirational film. It's an entrepreneurial film. It's a love story. And most importantly, I still think out of all movies ever done in history, it has to be ranked in the top 5 of the best one-liners that people still use today, right? The movie
Show Me the Money.
Exactly. You had me at hello. Show me the money.
Right.
My best place is the living room. You know, the Quan.
Yep.
You know, all kinds of different lines are used from that movie.
Love it. All right. Tell us about the Playbook podcast, because, I mean, you're just killing it. Top 4 on iTunes. I mean, you've been sprinkled with moon dust. I don't know.
Exactly.
Warren Moon dust.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You nailed it. You know what? You make good causes, and you expect things to happen. When you're of value, it'll just keep coming, and I do. I only focus on how I can be of service, and in fact, the idea behind the Playbook was because I had access to so many great athletes and business leaders and just unbelievable people, I took it and said, look, I want people to learn the playbook to success. And so instead of talking about, you know, what they did on the field and the same boring rhetoric that you see on many of the sports stations, what I do is get to the emotional side, the energy. You know, I want to get to the values, the personal values, the experiential values, the giving values and receiving values. And I, you know, whether it's Sage Steele or Apollo Ono, Jen Brown or Warren Moon or, you know, Andre Reed, it doesn't matter who it is. I have access to the who's who, Bernard King, Hall of Fame basketball player, you know. I get their inside scoop on what makes them successful, what makes them tick. And I think people find it really resonates with them and motivates them that, hey, this guy's not just an extraordinary athlete. He has character and values that I can mimic regardless of I'm 5'2" and 180 pounds. It doesn't matter.
Hey, I'm 5 foot fat. Believe me, I get it. Hang tight. We're talking with David Meltzer. The Playbook is his podcast. Elevator Pitch is this TV show, and this is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back. Back on the street, did my time, took my chances.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Talking to my buddy Dave Meltzer, Sports One Marketing, The Playbook, Elevator Pitch TV show. So many things. Father, husband, and watch his wife on Facebook. Just adoring you, by the way. I love how your wife loves you. Please give her a kiss and say that's from Alan. Aww. She just loves you, and that's...
I will.
I'm sure it hasn't always been that way, but at this point, you have made it.
It still isn't always that way, but I shouldn't say that. She's always loved me. She doesn't always like me.
Right. It's still... How many years you've been married now? Like 20-something?
20 years. In fact, one of the videos that the guys did, you know, I bought the media company.
Right.
That just, you know, you don't do things for a reason, but I posted up my 20th anniversary renewal of my vows, and it was one of the most popular videos, and it resonated with so many people. Because I think, you know, I try to be as humble as possible, but also show people the real me. You know, they told me in the Carousel and Bonaire that I didn't portray any mass. You know, I didn't. They felt that my speeches were so good because I told it like it was. I talked about what an idiot I am. Right. You know, the truth about
me. I'll agree with that, and by the way. Oh, no, I'm joking.
Exactly. But, you know, I think people saw how much I adore my family and my wife. And and even in the video, you can see there's a reality with the sarcasm in the relationship between me and my wife. And I know the biggest comment I got was, can your wife see or hear? Because she is absolutely gorgeous, and why would she be with you?
Oh, man. Well, you're a very fortunate man. All right, so I'm looking at a couple of the magazine covers. The November issue, by the way, is 50 Most Daring Entrepreneurs of 2017. If I go back a little bit, September is Young Millionaires, a new breed of CEOs are raising millions, selling millions, and questioning everything. And I love how, you know, this magazine, it represents who we really are, whether it be guys like, you know, on the cover of the 50 Most Daring Entrepreneurs, Jeff Bezos, and then a young gal who's, I don't know, in her 20s, who has a multi-million-dollar company because she just launched out into the world with all the courage that she could muster up to do what she was passionate about, whatever that business is. But, you know, I look at a guy like you. You said you've become a millionaire, lost it all, become a millionaire again. Along the way, you have learned some very valuable lessons, and I'm doing this mainly for our syndicated radio audience to learn about my friend Dave Meltzer, Connected to Goodness, his book, The Playbook, his podcast, Elevator Pitch, the TV show that he has. You can find it all at entrepreneur.com and or davemeltzer.com, D-A-V-E, Dave, not David, Dave Meltzer, M-E-L-T-Z-E-R.com. Because you are a content machine, and it seems like as of lately, you're still doing your business. I mean, representing the ABC Islands. I mean, it's like, who does that, right? It's like old country. But, you know, you also are a content machine in order to help people to unlock who they really are. I think that seems to be your mission. Like you said, you know, God, give me 10 people that I can help today. You know, I mean, I'll take two, but you want 10, you greedy pig. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, that's my whole premise of making it back the second time. I took a whole different approach. I'd always been able to make money. I was a millionaire 9 months out of law school. I was an entrepreneur. I took risks. Instead of being a litigator in oil and gas, I became an entrepreneur in the internet and took a really big risk selling legal research online. And we ended up selling that business, West Publishing did, for $3.4 billion in 1995.
Man.
When $1 billion was a lot of money,
and
the internet was unknown, right? My mom actually told me the internet was going to be a fad and I should be a real lawyer. So I took some serious risk. But the second time around, I studied how to maintain wealth so that I could give it away. And, you know, my whole philosophy was to be of service. And I realized that if I could provide value every day, and that's why I pray for people to come in front of me, then there'd be a void, and only the universe could fulfill that unconditional void. Mm. And when the universe, which is efficient, effective, statistically successful, and exact, when it refills my void, it does it abundantly. And if I put the right intention out, it fills it with what I desire. And I desire so much so that I could help so many others. And one of my biggest accomplishments of my life is I'm the chairman of the Unstoppable Foundation, and I'm turning 50 years old in January. Mm. I'm doing a 50 for 50 in 2018. I'm having 50 birthday parties. I'm going to raise $1 million to build an entrepreneur school in Kenya. Our foundation has educated 31,000 women that would never have been educated before, that usually are at ninth grade level, taken out of school to be married and circumcised. Instead, we've put them into schools. We've educated them. We've changed the earth with those 31,000 people. Now I'm going to create an entrepreneurship school by raising $1 million for my 50th birthday and do my own sports 50 for 50 all around the country with all the great events and speaking engagements and podcasts and play and TV shows. And everything I do is going to be dedicated to raising money to help other people. And I just know I got to put the right intentions out because the universe is going to come back to me tenfold as it usually does.
Yeah, you know what? And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because I want the world to know my friend Dave Meltzer. Connected to Goodness is his book. You want to find that at davemeltzer.com. The Playbook is his podcast. Elevator Pitch is TV show. Find that at entrepreneur.com. A true entrepreneur, a good man, and we all need to get connected to goodness like he has. Dave, thank you so much. Congratulations on the continued success. You're an animal.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, we'll take a little break. Come back with more Entrepreneur Radio, another prize guest. Gosh, love my job. I'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Radio, entrepreneur every week.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our next guest is a gentleman named Lonnie Cosina. He is the CEO of a company called Media Relations Agency. His website is simply the word publicity.com. So that's pretty cool. He's already smart enough to have gotten that early on. A brand new book out, The CEO's Guide to Marketing. And subtitled, The Book Every Marketer Should Read Before His Boss Does. Give us the kind of the reasoning behind writing this book, Lonnie. I'm curious.
Obviously, it's to help people become better marketers. But as you can tell by the title, you know, CEO's Guide to Marketing, and the subtitle, The Book Every Marketer Should Read Before Their Boss Does, that I'm kind of spilling the beans on people. And I'll be 62 in January. And I spent my whole life in marketing. And I've just been yanked around in these creative meetings for forever, and by people that really don't know what's going on. They don't understand basic marketing and basic marketing concepts. And I just wanted to write a really practical book that would help small companies, large companies, anybody that wants to know, develop a nice, practical process for their marketing. And it just, it's not out there. And, you know, my agency, I average about 40, 45 employees. We work with many companies. We get in the kitchens of a lot of people's behind the scenes in their marketing. And it's a little nutty back there. The creative tail is wagging the dog, and it really shouldn't be.
Well, and as you know, I mean, your company, Media Relations Agency, you're dealing with the media as well, obviously, because, you know, you're trying to get, I assume you're trying to get media for some of your clients, right? Is that?
Yes. We booked tens of thousands of media interviews all across the country. We have over 30 years, so that's part of what we do.
So then you understand the old saying, you're better off quiet and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Media training. So that's got to be part of what you guys do for people, right?
Oh, absolutely. Although, more people are afraid of the media than they should be. These folks are smart. I've listened to your show and, others. You're good interviewers. You can move things along and you can really take care of people. So there really isn't, there's a lot less danger than people think in doing a media interview. And besides that, most people are making products that make people's lives more interesting, better, fun, safer, whatever it is. You know, they're doing good things out there, and to have a nice conversation with a good professional interviewer usually turns out really well.
Well, it's funny because I think in the news world, the news is what most people are afraid of, because news journalists are looking for the angle. You know, I'm not looking for the angle. Oh, yes, I am. But the angle I'm looking for is more like, how can I help people? Not how can I destroy that person's character?
Right.
You know, there's a little different. So I guess you have to know, who you're talking to, and you have to know yourself. So the reason why I ask all this is because you're better off quiet and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt is one of those things I've said a lot. And I have to be the one every so often to tell myself, boy, I need to just shut the hell up, because I don't know what the hell they're talking about, you know? And it's like some of these terms are being made up all the time. It's like there was a time I remember not knowing what new media was. I was like, I'm supposed to know this. You know, so then I go on a quest and try and learn what these things are. But every day, Lonnie, every day they're making up new terms. And so when it comes to marketing, does anybody really know which 50% of their marketing dollars are working? I don't know if that question ever be answered, because it's one of those things. So let's talk about this book. Why should the marketers read it before their CEO? Because he's going to then find out that they've been bamboozling him? Is that why or what?
That's right. And it's really not a gotcha book. I even write in the book that don't use it as a gotcha book to the CEOs. This is about fixing a problem. It's not about embarrassing someone. And that's why I say the marketer should read it before their boss does. I don't want people to get caught flat-footed.
Right.
And really, how basic is it to know marketing terms as a marketer? No one would suffer an accounting department that didn't know basic accounting and
right.
basic accounting terms. And yet you see that in marketing all the time. I'll guarantee you, ask 100 people the difference between the marketing mix and the promotional mix, and you might get one that knows.
Right.
You probably won't. And these are the people that are doing your marketing for you. They're the professionals. And those are really simple, basic terms, and yet most marketers don't know them.
So you have a 6-step process designed to dramatically increase your marketing results. Can you walk through a few of those for us?
Sure. The first one is first step is competence. And so I go over 30 terms in the book and say, look, as a professional marketer, you should know these 30 terms. So memorize them, and I give them some tricks for doing that, and it's not that difficult. You should also be able to explain marketing. And so I use a floor plan and like a little planet. I call it planet marketing, with continents and countries and states, and just some easy visuals for people to just grasp, okay, this is what marketing is. And then step two is to create a brand book, or a brand, I call it a brand playbook. And most companies, you know, we're coming up on a new year and people will be thinking of their marketing plans. And a lot of them have these creative meetings and they try to come up with that big campaign idea or that overarching initiative that they're going to use for 2018. And it's really backwards. The creativity has to come way at the end. There's a whole process before this. So first is understanding the terms and concepts, and you're not going to be able to create a good process unless you understand them. Second step is to take and do this brand playbook. And what you do, it's made up of code sheets, and you have one sheet for each product and each sub-market of that product. And so, like, if you're a company, you maybe got 10 products, right? And each one of them has 3 sub-markets, so you'd have 30 pages to your brand playbook. And what you want to do is you want to take each product, say, okay, what's our market? Who are we talking to? What are the key messages that we need to get across to them? Why should they buy my product rather than our competitor's product? And what would that sound like? Is the last step on these code sheets within this brand playbook is to develop what I call a brand statement. My definition of a brand statement is, what would it sound like if the consumer, if you built a definition in their mind and you had that consumer say that definition, what would it sound like in their words? Let's see. Let me back up, if I can, just 1 second and talk about what a brand is.
Let me do this. I'm going to take a break. Because I'm very interested in this. Because I live in a state of confusion like so many. I want clarity when it comes to all this stuff. This book, The CEO's Guide to Marketing, may be the clarity I'm looking for. You're going to help me to understand that. Lonnie Cosina, he is the CEO of Media Relations Agency, publicity.com on the web. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
I'm talking to Lonnie Cosina. He is the CEO of Media Relations Company. Their website is www.publicity.com. The book he just has out is The CEO's Guide to Marketing, the industry's first six-step process that will help them be the smartest marketers in the room. So the question I have for you is, we're talking a little bit about the six steps, and maybe we could talk about the definition of a brand. Because, I mean, there's these steps, each one, this is pretty complicated stuff. You know what I mean? It isn't just for the weak of heart, you know?
Yeah, it can be a little bit complicated. Once you get it figured out, though, it's really, I'll tell you, if you don't know it, your shoulders up around your ears, you know? I mean, you're just tense.
Right.
And once you know this stuff, you just relax. You feel like you got it under control, and that's kind of it's one of the purposes of the book is just to bring clarity and just to help people feel like they're really doing a good job and they understand it and know it, which they don't. You know, about half the people in marketing don't know marketing. They're just bright bulbs that sort of got into marketing. They don't have any formal training. And the other half went to school and forgot everything. So everybody's kind of in the same boat.
Right, right.
And so we were talking about just a minute ago about this term brand and a brand statement. If the academic, in a way of giving back, I teach principles of marketing sometimes. A brand, if you look at the textbook definition, they're going to say it's a name, term, symbol, or design that distinguishes one company's offerings from another. Now, and you'll see that repeated over and over again out there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what are they teaching these kids? That's not a brand. A brand, at least for me, a brand is a definition that people hold in their mind of a company and its products. And that definition is built in two ways. It's built by what you tell someone, and it's built by what they experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I tell people is, imagine your favorite candy bar, okay? Just imagine in your mind. Now, mentally take the candy bar out of the wrapper and
Snickers.
Put it in a plastic bag.
Okay, sorry, I had to just say Snickers because it was really on my mind.
So you got a little Snickers in your plastic bag. if you look at the wrapper now, the wrapper is marketing. That's what we tell them, and we're trying to create that definition in their mind. The product is what they experience. And fortunately, if it isn't a Snickers and it's maybe a Baby Ruth or something, it doesn't look very appealing in the little clear baggie. But you know, a candy bar is not about appearance; it's about flavor. So you don't have to worry about it. It does its job. It's great flavor, right?
Right.
In marketing, we're all about the telling. We have to tell people. We have to create a definition in their mind that is strong enough that they want your product more than their money. And that's not easy to do because people want their money. So how do you create that definition in people's mind? How do you build that definition? And you do that by carefully teaching them your primary value points and why they should buy from you rather than somebody else.
Right.
And the
now,
way you
now,
test
so,
that.
So the wrapper is the marketing. The experience,
right.
The candy bar is the product. The brand is the combination of the two. What happens in your mind when you think of that brand? You remember the experience was pleasant, and you like even the marketing, the wrapper. It appeals to you for some reason. Interesting.
Yep, and it works together. And then you have this definition, and then that has value, right? It has value in creating other products and what have you. And if you're a brand manager, how difficult is it to manage a logo? And that's really what the other definition is. It's nothing, right? But to manage the definition that all these people are holding in their mind, that's a big job, and it's challenging. Mm. And so it's a good idea to know what that definition sounds like. So what I tell people is just for each product, each sub-market, right, just sit down and imagine you're in a coffee shop and you can overhear a person sitting, two people sitting next to you talking about your product. Remember, they haven't bought it yet. So the one person is telling the other person why they're going to buy it. And they say, I heard about this product. I'm going to buy it because of A, because of B, and because of C. And you know what? I'm going to buy it from this company because of D. And you want to say that in their language. So you want to build that brand statement for every single product and every single submarket that you're selling to. So your creative team, when you get to them, when you have them building your websites or creating your brochure, they know what you're trying to get people to think and say. And so building out the second step, building out this brand playbook, it's important to get all these little pieces in place before it gets to the creative team.
It's very interesting.
I talk about the product.
Well, and the reason why I say that is because I'm just getting ready to launch a new, I guess we'll call it a brand. And I was fortunate. I got a couple of good URLs for the name. I'm in the process of creating a logo right now. And then I stuck what I thought was, you know, the logo, going to be the logo possibly, on a photo. And man, what happens when you take, you know, a couple of words and put them on a photograph? All of a sudden, that's the packaging, right? It's now, am I going to deliver with the product once they go inside our website? Is it going to deliver, you know, on the promise of the packaging? So I like how this is leading us to an aha experience of, oh, I get it. Because, I mean, so many people, like myself, we're wondering about all these types of things because as a CEO and a founder of my company, I have to be smarter or as smart as all my different people. At least I think so. Maybe that's not the right answer. We're going to talk a little bit more on the other side. I am interested in this because it is part of my life every day. It is called CEO's Guide to Marketing. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Lonnie Cassina's with us, CEO, Media Relations Agency. That's his company, the website, publicity.com. His book, CEO's Guide to Marketing, the book every marketer should read before his boss does. Now, I'm the boss. Lonnie, I'm the boss. I've always thought that I had to hire people that I already knew their job, you know what I mean? And maybe that's not true. Maybe I didn't go to school. I'm an entrepreneur. I didn't go to school to be an entrepreneur. I just happened to become one through being successful at a few things. And all of a sudden, man, I need books like this. I need to read this before my marketer does so that I can check him. I can hold him accountable, you know? So, but there's a lot of people out
That's
there,
right.
I think, that are marketers that probably are going to want to read this before their boss does. But do I need, as a CEO, do I need to know my marketing guy's job better than he does so that I can make sure that I'm tracking with him and every word he's saying and every term he's using? Or should I read this book so that I can keep up with him?
If you're a CEO and you're a bigger company and you're hiring out an agency or you have a big internal team or what have you, you should know whether these people know what they're doing or not. And so the book can serve as like an assessment. You know, the six steps. Are they competent? Is there a brand playbook out there that do they have that? Have they documented all this stuff? The third step, do they know what the promotional mix is? Do they know that that there's five main channels to the promotional mix? You have ads, publicity, website, social, and personal selling. Mm. When you ask them, do they say that, or do they kind of make up an answer?
Right.
You can, like, step four is calendarizing all of the, you know, all of these messages that we want to get across. Is there a calendar somewhere? Do they have these all spread out? You know, you have to repeat this stuff over and over again. So are they using all the channels? Are they pushing out the messages? Step five is what I call a control template. Are they giving clear direction to their creative staff? And is there some document that gives clear direction? Because you can't expect all of your writers and graphic designers and web technical people, ideally, they would know all this stuff.
Yeah.
But someone should know, and someone should be giving them clear direction on the project that they're supposed to be working on at any given time. And then the last step is the creative people. Do you have the right creative team? Because it takes a lot more people than it did 20, 30 years ago. It's much more dynamic, and so there's a lot of different skill sets you need. So as a CEO, you don't need to be smarter than your marketing people. But this is why the subtitle of the book, on Telenon, the marketing industry, they've gotten away with it for a long, long time. You don't find that in other industries where people don't know basic things. You know basic accounting, you know basic carpentry, you know basic law. They should know this stuff, but because they're creative people, let me say it like this. I belong to about 15 years to a group called Vistage. It's a CEO peer group. And in that time, I learned that CEOs really don't connect well with creative people or engineers. Those are two groups that they have trouble talking to. So they just kind of slide the food under the door and hope everything's okay. But the problem is they got a hole in their customer bucket. You know, most businesses are pretty smart. You can maybe upsell and cross-sell and get another 20% out of your customers. Maybe, you know, there might be that much room for growth. The problem, though, is you got a hole in your customer bucket, so you're losing there. So probably break even. So how are you going to grow? Well, you're going to grow by bringing in new customers. Who have you trusted that to? People that couldn't even tell you the most basic term in marketing, which is the marketing mix, price, product, place, and promotion.
Here's what I'm listening to. It's killing me because it says someone in your company should know about marketing or you're going to get bamboozled. I've been bamboozled. What are you kidding me? This is my weakness. I am a marketer as a human being. I'm constantly, you know, marketing myself without even really thinking about it. I'm being my own cheerleader. I'm pushing myself, you know, to other people, and I've made it work for all these years. But let me give myself a report card here. I have your six steps here. One, gain competence in marketing terms. Do I have competence? No. Get an F there. Develop code sheets. Do I have that? No. Get an F there. Select channels. What the hell's that? No. Get an F there. Schedule calendar. I get a D- there. Develop a control template. F. Assemble a creative team, B+, because I have really great people that work with me. So, I mean, I think perhaps because I've had fun, I love what I do, my job is to talk to people and learn from people like Lonnie Cosina. And if it wasn't for people like you, I would probably be, you know, working in an Albertsons, putting your groceries in a bag, which I've actually told my wife I should be doing at some point. But I really appreciate this book. I can't wait to get a copy of it. The CEO's Guide to Marketing. I get like a D- in all this. Let me tell you the name of the brand slogan for my company. I have a little, you know, We have a media company. We create content like you're listening to right now. Brands you trust, sure. People you love. And that's what I built the whole thing on. I trust the brand entrepreneur. I love the people that work there. I love the people that express themselves as being entrepreneurs. I think because entrepreneurs are more honest with themselves than most, because we are responsible for the stuff we do. We live or die by our decisions every day. And we also are part of an amazing tribe. And we call that tribe being an entrepreneur, and that's the magazine I get to represent. Alani, you've done a great job. I can't wait. I want to get a copy of your book, The CEO's Guide to Marketing. You guys, I got a D-. Next time I talk to Lonnie, I'm going to try and get to a B, okay? Lonnie, you're the best. Thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Again, Felicity.com. You can find out more about him. This has been Entrepreneur Weekly. See you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.